flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, good Saturday afternoon, and welcome to Right at Home with Rich. I'm your host, Rich Orris, and I will be here for the next hour to help you, the listener, with all your home's needs. Any questions that you may have, inside or outside, all around, up, down, from the foundation to the roof, I'm your man today for the next hour. Give me a call, anything you got, 314-241.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
1-9797. Lines are open right now and live for you for the next hour. And for, you know, some of you that may not know, you know, I've been around Mosby Building Arts for over 18 years, kind of helping my clients from starting out building projects to figuring out the best remodeling projects for them, correcting issues, basically, you know, getting the opportunity to redevelop houses into homes that are comfortable, functional, sustainable for many years to come for my clients. And the main thing that I have found, you know, when you're out in it for the long haul, you want lasting value, longevity, you can kind of stop worrying about, you know, who's going to buy my home, or will they like it, or how much of a return on investment might I get, which projects does a buyer prefer to already have done, you know, if they're looking to buy my home. You know, you can kind of stop thinking about others and you can start focusing on what makes you happy in your home. You know, how does it function for you? What are the maintenance items that will make it easier or better for you to live in your home for years to come? You know, it's kind of like a release. It's like a freedom from wondering what matters to others and a license to make your home feel good to you. Now, so this is what I can deliver with Mosby Building Arts when I'm out kind of looking at your stuff, you know, checking out projects for you, getting projects built. So that's kind of what we bring to the table, helping you with your home. Basically a team-based knowledge of guided performance that delivers exceptional solutions that exceed everyone's expectations. That's the goal. That's the plan. So today I'm planning on covering, you know, how Mosby does that. How can they help the client? I will have one of my repeat clients on live with me here in a little bit, so they can kind of answer some questions, you know, let you know what they found, what they saw, how it went. Just a quick testimonial for that. And as always, you know, every time at the midpoint of the show, I'll have my hack. So we got some holiday weekend things going on. You know, after that, we can talk about some outside, some decks, some things you'll be doing outside getting ready for this Memorial Day weekend. So basically, I'm here. I can answer all your questions. Got a lot of great stuff for you. But the number to reach me, again, 314-241-9797, or from far away, 866-455-9797. So I wanted to get things started by kind of going over, you know, a little bit of what we're trying to do, kind of our different setups, and then maybe some statistics, you know, about what's going on here at Mosby Building Arts. So, you know, a lot of people know us as a full service design, build, remodeling company, but we also do everything start to finish on a residential home. So we have our SAM division, our service and maintenance, where we can do simply small projects, we can do little repairs, we can fix things, you know, do some real minor things. And the goal is we want to do everything for our clients. It'll be such a satisfying thing to you all the way through the process that you'll really, from the smallest job to the biggest job, won't have a need to go anywhere else. So, you know, kitchens and bath, we have our right bath and our right kitchen division, just a quicker way to get through some simpler remodels, you know, remodels of your kitchens and your bathrooms without a lot of designing, architecture, moving things, you know, stuff like that. Exteriors, we got the whole exteriors division. We can do everything outside, siding, windows, doors, roofing, decks, everything you got going on the exterior. We've got a division set up just to visit, understand, and get you through that process. Now, sometimes those exteriors get big and they need some, you know, designing, they need some drawings. We can still work all that through design, build, remodeling with you also. And then we got kind of standard remodeling. We can do some regular things, flooring, base trim, painting, just remodeling areas of the home, just through general remodeling. So that is kind of the answer to full service. It means everything. We can accomplish everything around your home. And I have so many great repeat clients that we do absolutely everything to their home. You know, once they figured it out, they knew we were the know-all, end-all solution. And they've basically never had a reason to go anywhere else ever since then. So, you know, as a company, the way we look, the way we train, the way we work, you know, our vision is to be the Midwest's most desired home remodeling company. I think we're pretty well accomplishing that. Our mission statement is to enhance lives and homes by relentlessly outperforming expectations for the home remodeling industry. We all know how the industry can be, what can happen, what those expectations can end up to be. So it's about doing better than that. And our values, those core values of the people, of the company, of everybody in it: integrity, commitment to excellence, accountability, respect, teamwork. It's all about getting all this stuff done. So looking at some of these repeat clients, so I kind of went back and did a history of what I've been doing for about the past 4 years. And it was interesting because you can see it kind of grow exponentially as I look back over the years. So in 2016, and I've been doing the consulting end of this since about 2007, beginning, you know, end of 2007, beginning of 2008, somewhere in there. So in 2016, I signed 72 agreements to do different types of projects with 72 clients. And 28 of those clients were repeat clients that I had already performed work for. That's about 39%. 2017, it was 73 projects, 45 repeat clients, jumps up to 62%. Now, once you get into 2018, then we kind of jump up to about 73%, 70 projects at 52 repeat clients. 2019, 79 projects at 60 repeat clients, 76%. It keeps going up, up. So in 2020 so far, I've had 36 projects, and remarkably, 33 of those projects are clients that have performed work with me before, 92% so far on the year. Now, I see that probably, you know, as the year goes by, there's going to be more new people. It's probably going to drop, but I'll bet it's going to end up around 80%, something like that. You see that kind of growth, and it's about doing the right thing and getting through it. So I think we're going to jump into a break here, and what I'd like to do is when we come back, I'll have a client of mine, John Hawk, on the line, and we can get him on with us, and we can just hear his story. He's done about three projects with us, and just hear, you know, what did he expect, what did he get out of it, and how great was it? So stay tuned for that, and we will be right back. We are having a blast. We are going through. This is going to be a quick day. We got some Memorial Day stuff coming up, some outside deck, you know, what to look for on your deck. We got a lot in store for you. So if you have any questions about your home, feel free to give me a call today, 314-241-9797. Love to help you out if I can. I'm sure you're out there, you're running around, you're picking stuff up at the back. We are having a blast. We are going through. This is going to be a quick day. We got some Memorial Day stuff coming up, some outside deck, you know, what to look for on your deck. We got a lot in store for you. So if you have any questions about your home, feel free to give me a call today, 314-241-9797. Love to help you out if I can. I'm sure you're out there, you're running around, you're picking stuff up at the hardware store, you're getting ready for this holiday weekend, maybe finally getting to do some barbecuing and stuff outside as the weather's nice, beautiful, sunny, and warm today. So you notice things, you have things going on. Again, feel free to call and ask, and I will see what I could do to help get you through it. Again, 314-241-9797. But for right now, I have a very, very special guest on the line to me. This is one of my great clients, John Hawk, that we've done several projects for. We're getting ready to start finishing up design and selections on another bathroom for them. So, hey, John, are you on the line with us?
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, Rich.
Yeah, good afternoon. How are you doing today?
Just great. Just sitting out and enjoying the beautiful sunny day, looking out on my deck.
Yeah, I tell you what, I'm going to kind of after this segment do some stuff about some deck safety, you know, just things to look for, how to inspect, because I know everybody's going to be out. It's great. It's sunny. I can't wait to get out on mine this afternoon and just be outdoors and get some fresh air and some great sun. We all need a little more vitamin D. You know, it's been so gloomy and rainy out there. And I know that we've done actually two decks for you, one with a roof cover and a regular deck for you. So kind of looking at maybe starting from the beginning a little bit in the early stages when you were kind of going through and finding stuff, you know, what got you to choose Mosby to perform, you know, the work needed at your home?
Well, Rich, I was thinking back and I actually started listening to Mosby on the radio probably 15 years ago. And I used to call in and asked Scott questions about things. I was impressed that he always knew the answers and seemed to have such depth in home issues. So when it finally came time that I had a project, I really I thought, I've got to find out if Mosby can do that for me. So that's how I got started. And I was just impressed with what I felt was as expressed by Scott in over the years, a commitment to quality and a know-how that I really appreciated. I have sort of I have an engineering background, so I appreciate things done well and things done right.
So yeah, no, I could totally understand that, especially with the engineering background, appreciating, you know, learning, schooling, understanding, you know, and getting things, the desire to have it all right. Yeah, absolutely. And that's definitely you're spot on with, you know, how I've been here a long time. I've known Scott Mosby, over 18 years, and what he drives through that company in the training and all of that is just such a wonderful thing. And it's why we got so many people that have been here for so long, you know, because of that. He makes it not only good for the clients, but good for us, the workers and the helpers and everybody with him. So let me ask you this. Prior to, you know, starting any construction work, stuff like that, you know, figuring the jobs out kind of up front, you know, how was your experience through that process with Mosby?
Well, that's what I really appreciated about dealing with Mosby. We had ideas. I know on my first project, my wife suggested we do something with our deck, which had become sort of useless. It's one of those spots that seem like a good idea, but it's either too hot, too wet, too cold to really use it. And we thought, what can we do that would be better here? And so we got a hold of Mosby and we talked about it. And we designed a three-season room, replaced the old deck, got a roof over the deck, and built what has now become our favorite spot in the house. So it took a lot of know-how to do that. I mean, we had to tie into an old roof. We had to put in significant piering and all those kinds of things that you really have to know what you're doing. There was a lot of electrical work that ended up being part of it. All those things, I just felt really comfortable when I met the Mosby crew, that they knew how to do it and they would do and design whatever we asked for. So experience in that project and subsequent projects was we always come in with a murky idea, and Mosby helps us to flesh it out.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's a great way to explain it, because everybody's got a thought, you know, and really it's just sometimes there's different ways, there's better ways, there's, you know, different things you can do. So getting everybody together as a team, having the client join that team, you know, makes it such a great process for everybody. And we've done, I think, we're getting ready to start our fourth job for you, I'm thinking. So what were those types of projects that you had us do?
Well, so the first one that I mentioned was our three-season room. And then in the process, we also had some doors, windows put in. And it reminded us that we needed some doors and windows on our little summer cabin out at Innsbruck. So we brought the team out here, and John Yoko, your project manager, and he was out here, and we got sized up for doors and windows. And then we thought about, you know, we have a deck out here that we really didn't like that much either. So we had people look at it, and they sort of told us it was hopeless in terms of what we could do to improve it. And I asked John to take a look, and he got underneath and looked around, and he said, oh yeah, we can do this, and we can, you know, he came up with a terrific solution where we really thought it was a lost cause, and now we have just a tremendous a result here in terms of the deck and the it's well built, it's solid, which we wasn't quite the case prior to that. So where we went in our second project. It's got a deck out here on our little summer house.
That's great. Then
we decided our kitchen needed an upgrade. So that was the third project, and that turned into a major opening up of our house, taking out some walls, rearranging a great room, and putting in some lighting there along with the whole kitchen. New flooring, hardwood flooring. So really, from scoop to nuts in terms of projects. But all along, I just felt thrilled that there was a team working on it that was just so competent and knew how to do a good job.
That's
just so wonderful.
I agree. And so, John, I got to get into a break here, but I got one more question, and I wanted to talk about that team with you and the importance of that. Would you mind holding on through the break? And when we come back, we can get that last question in for you. So that would be wonderful. So we'll wrap up with John when we come back. I'll have my hack immediately after that. So, all right, we are back. Having a great holiday weekend show. Looks gorgeous outside, looking through the window. Sunny, beautiful day. I've got one of my great repeat clients, John Hock, on the line with me. I'll have my hack right after I wrap that up. But if you have any questions, you have anything you want to go over with me, anything you want to ask about your home, feel free. You can still call in 314-241-9797. But for now, I want to get back to John here. John, are you still with me?
Yes, sir. Hi, Rich.
Perfect. Hey, so the big thing I really wanted to touch on, and something that we kind of pride ourselves on trying to do as much as possible, and it's kind of that relationship building. It's using the same people as much as possible, and really you get to learn, you get to know, you become friends, really, you know. And so, you know, I know you've had all these projects done, and you've had the same project manager and the same project lead perform all of these projects for you. So can you just kind of explain to the listeners just how that affected the construction and remodeling experience for you guys?
Well, Rich, I think that's probably one of the most important things for us, and it's the fact that there is a project manager and a technical lead on these projects that ensure coordination and consistency in delivering quality work and in addressing issues that when you have to deal with customer requirements, that you're checking and making sure that you're really meeting the requirements of the customer. But besides what you say, that they become your friends, you really do communicate daily with these people, and you get to know them, and they understand what you want. They make it easy to see the project through. I can only say that I've had other projects where that wasn't the case, where there wasn't really anybody in charge, and you find that you've got people coming on site, and each person has their own standards and their own skills, and you end up with a mess. But I really found that with the Mosby projects, that having consistency in the technical and the project lead departments, and I love having the same people all the time, made a huge difference in execution. And it's you just have to have it if you care about the end result.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you had said to me one time that you were like, yeah, you know, Steve Nielsen's now kind of like my favorite nephew, you know, that's been working and running my jobs and stuff like that. And I found out something that I didn't realize. Steve Nielsen, the project lead that's done, you know, all this for you, they actually did an kind of a little interview article with him in our Mosby magazine, and they asked him, you know, to list off like some favorite clients, and he put, you were number one on that list. You were the first person he mentioned. Absolutely. And I was like, that's great, you know, that, but it's so important, that relationship. And, you know, really from our end, you know, the advantage to the client, to that they might not even, you know, understand or really hear or see so much, is that it makes you just even better. It makes you want to do everything. It makes you really want to say, you know what, we got to get everything perfect. We got to get everything right. Makes you more attentive to their needs, everything, because, you know, you've just done so much and you've got this relationship, and it'd be like letting a friend down. You know, you don't want to let your friend or your family down. And that's kind of what Scott's developed through those processes like that. And he's really developed a great thing, you know, I think.
Steve was fun to have on site, that's for sure.
Yeah,
he got a big kick out of him.
Yeah, he is definitely. And he's another one of those guys that I couldn't even name the years he's been here. I know it's been well over 10. You know, he's probably at least pushing 15 years or close. And it's just such a great environment and all that. And that's really, you know, I think what makes it great from both directions. You get to do great things, have some fun, meet great people. The clients are happy, and it just makes it better for everybody. So John, I really, really appreciate you coming on and taking some time out of your holiday weekend here. And I'm going to go ahead and let you get back at it. And I really appreciate it. It was a great time. We'll have to maybe do this again sometime.
My pleasure. Rich.
Absolutely. No problem. I really appreciate it. For now, we're going to let John go, and I think it's just about time that we get into my right-at-home hack here. So I'm gonna get my phone going, and I'm going to welcome Facebook in for this one. And my right-at-home hack for today is, you know, we're kind of outdoors. It's Memorial Day weekend. It's getting into warmer weather. It's starting to look great. You're outside, you know, you're planting flowers, you're cleaning, you're getting prepared for the holiday activities, you know, and like me, you've probably seen a lot and been battling these carpenter bees. If you have wood on your home, if you have a wood deck, you know, you're seeing them, they drive you crazy. They fly around, they protect their home. So I looked up a few ideas to hopefully help you with this battle this weekend, you know, of these carpenter bees. And I think the first thing really is to kind of understand, you know, what are they doing and why do they keep coming back? And basically the younger generation of these bees, you know, they continue to come back to where their predecessors were and settle back into those old nests and then start drilling more and even tearing things up more. So usually in the wild and everything, they're supposed to, you know, build their nest in old trees and hollows and thickets of bushes and stuff like that. But instead they pick wooden buildings and they pick country houses, stuff like that. The more we build, the more we get out there, the more they're just going to have to do this. So their favorite thing to eat is just basically raw wood, unprotected wood. So why should we get rid of carpenter bees? You know, so the male bees, they have no stingers. They don't bite or sting or anything. But the female carpenter bees can be very aggressive. And when they bite, they leave a poison, and it's very toxic. And if you're allergic, it could be very, very devastating to you. So the question would be, how do you kill these carpenter bees? Well, there is some insecticides. There's some powder insecticide. There's some liquid insecticides that you could use. You know, put them in the holes. Don't seal off the holes, because if you do, they can kind of grind their way out a different way, and then they don't go backwards to get back out, and they avoid that poison. So you want to get the get the poison in there, get the insecticide in there, let them do their thing and plug those holes up when they're totally gone. Now, how can you get rid of them without any pesticides? So what they say that works really well is gasoline or diesel fuel. Don't know that I'd recommend, you know, doing a whole lot with those things, but I also hear a good substitute for putting some gasoline or diesel fuel in those little holes is WD-40. They say works really good as a substitute for that gas. All right, we are back having a great holiday weekend show. Looks gorgeous outside looking through the window. Sunny, beautiful day. I've got one of my great repeat clients, John Hock, on the line with me. I'll have my hack right after I wrap that up. But if you have any questions, you have anything you want to go over with me, anything you want to ask about your home, feel free. You can still call in 314-241-9797. But for now, I want to get back to John here. John, are you still with me?
Yes, sir. Hi, Rich.
Perfect. Hey, so the big thing I really wanted to touch on, and something that we kind of pride ourselves on trying to do as much as possible, and it's kind of that relationship building. It's using the same people as much as possible, and really you get to learn, you get to know, you become friends, really, you know. And so, you know, I know you've had all these projects done and you've had the same project manager and the same project lead perform all of these projects for you. So can you just kind of explain to the listeners just how that affected the construction and remodeling experience for you guys?
Well, Rich, I think that's probably one of the most important things for us, and it's the fact that there is a project manager and a technical lead on these projects that ensure coordination and consistency in delivering quality work and addressing issues that when you have to deal with customer requirements, that you're checking and making sure that you're really meeting the requirements of the customer. But besides what you say, that they become your friends, you really do communicate daily with these people and you get to know them and they understand what you want. They make it easy to see the project through. I can only say that I've had other projects where that wasn't the case, where there wasn't really anybody in charge. And you find that you've got people coming on site and each person has their own standards and their own skills. And you end up with a mess. But I really found that with the Mosby projects, that having consistency in the technical and the project lead departments, and I love having the same people all the time, made a huge difference in execution. And it's you just have to have it if you care about the end result.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you had said to me one time that you were like, yeah, you know, Steve Nielsen's now kind of like my favorite nephew, you know, that's been working and running my jobs and stuff like that. And I found out something that I didn't realize. Steve Nielsen, the project lead that's done, you know, all this for you, they actually did an kind of a little interview article with him in our Mosby magazine. And they asked him, you know, to list off like some favorite clients, and he put you were number one on that list. You were the first person
right.
He mentioned. Absolutely. And I was like, that's great, you know, that, but it's so important, that relationship. And, you know, really from our end, you know, the advantage to the client to that they might not even, you know, understand or really hear or see so much is that it makes you just even better. It makes you want to do everything. It makes you really want to say, you know what, we got to get everything perfect. We got to get everything right. Makes you more attentive to their needs, everything, because, you know, you've just done so much and you've got this relationship, and it'd be like letting a friend down. You know, you don't want to let your friend or your family down. And that's kind of what Scott's developed through those processes like that. And he's really developed a great thing, you know, I think.
Steve so, was fun to have on site, that's for sure.
Yeah,
he got a big kick out of him.
Yeah, he is definitely. And he's another one of those guys that I couldn't even name the years he's been here. I know it's been well over 10. You know, he's probably at least pushing 15 years or close. And it's just such a great environment and all that. And that's really, you know, I think what makes it great from both directions. You get to do great things, have some fun, meet great people. The clients are happy, and it just makes it better for everybody. So John, I really, really appreciate you coming on and taking some time out of your holiday weekend here. And I'm going to go ahead and let you get back at it. And I really appreciate it. It was a great time. We'll have to maybe do this again sometime.
My pleasure. Rich.
Absolutely. No problem. I really appreciate it. For now, we're going to let John go, and I think it's just about time that we get into my ride-at-home hack here. So I'm gonna get my phone going, and I'm going to welcome Facebook in for this one. And my ride-at-home hack for today is, you know, we're kind of outdoors. It's Memorial Day weekend. It's getting into warmer weather. It's starting to look great. You're outside, you know, you're planting flowers, you're cleaning, you're getting prepared for the holiday activities, you know, and like me, you've probably seen a lot and been battling these carpenter bees. If you have wood on your home, if you have a wood deck, you know, you're seeing them, they drive you crazy, they fly around, they protect their home. So I looked up a few ideas to hopefully help you with this battle this weekend, you know, of these carpenter bees. And I think the first thing really is to kind of understand, you know, what are they doing and why do they keep coming back? And basically the younger generation of these bees, you know, they continue to come back to where their predecessors were and settle back into those old nests and then start drilling more and even tearing things up more. So usually in the wild and everything, they're supposed to, you know, build their nest in old trees and hollows and thickets of bushes and stuff like that. But instead they pick wooden buildings and they pick country houses, stuff like that. The more we build, the more we get out there, the more they're just going to have to do this. So their favorite thing to eat is just basically raw wood, unprotected wood. So why should we get rid of carpenter bees? You know, so the male bees, they have no stingers. They don't bite or sting or anything. But the female carpenter bees can be very aggressive, and when they bite, they leave a poison, and it's very toxic, and if you're allergic, it could be very, very devastating to you. So the question would be, how do you kill these carpenter bees? Well, there is some insecticides. There's some powder insecticide. There's some liquid insecticides that you could use. You know, put them in the holes. Don't seal off the holes, because if you do, they can kind of grind their way out a different way, and then they don't go backwards to get back out, and they avoid that poison. So you want to get the poison in there, get the insecticide in there, let them do their thing, and plug those holes up when they're totally gone. Now, how can you get rid of them without any pesticides? So what they say that works really well is gasoline or diesel fuel. Don't know that I'd recommend, you know, doing a whole lot with those things, but I also hear a good substitute for putting some gasoline or diesel fuel in those little holes is WD-40. They say works really good as a substitute for that gas. If another way to get rid of them without killing them is that carpenter bees are very sensitive to noise, so you can play loud music. the vibrations inside the walls of that wood and in their homes can drive them away. They hate the loud noise and they hate the vibrations. So once they're gone, you know they're going to return, but you want to make sure they're all gone. Then you can cover those holes. You can use some mineral wool or steel wool to stick in those holes or spray some foam in the holes and really fill those up and block them off to keep them from getting that scent and coming back in there. Another thing, replace the wood. That's, you know, if you can take the wood out off that deck or off the fascia of your home, stuff like that, then you can get that gone and they won't get that scent back and hopefully they won't come back. But you can find all of this information about the carpenter bees from Pest Control Hacks. And if you go back in this week, check out all my social media. You can find me on Facebook or Twitter. We'll have it posted there later in the week. You can get to the link to get way more information than what I quickly gave out. So on Facebook, Rich Orris / Mosby, take you right to my Mosby account. Rich Orris at Rich Orris for Twitter. You can find all that. And you can also go back into 97.1's website and you can get back to these actual episodes of the show, because we just got done with that great conversation with a longtime repeat client, John Hock, with me. If you want to hear what our clients have to say, you can go back and you can listen to that broadcast again in the podcast. Go to 97.1.com and find that Right at Home with Rich and the date and check that out, because it means so much and it's great. So that's great for now. We're going to get here close to a break. So I'm gonna let that happen. And when we return, let's get into some outdoorsy stuff and some deck inspections and stuff like that for you. If you have anything for me about that or any questions, feel free to call in the last segment, 314-241-979. We are back. We are live. We are in the final segment. If you have anything for me, if you're seeing things as you're out getting ready for all your holiday festivities, give me a shout. I can help you through it. 314-241-9797. What a beautiful day today. Hopefully it'll be this way throughout the holiday, and maybe we can all, you know, hang outside and get some relief from all this indoor COVID stuff. Don't go anywhere, you know, that sort of thing. You know, I definitely advise everybody still think what you're doing, wear your mask, stay safe, try not to get, you know, too crazy too soon. But I know we're all antsy to all this to happen and to get out and to get things going. I'm definitely that way too. So resist a little, hold back, you know, kind of just get your feet wet, kind of poke your toe in the pool, you know, before you just jump in head first. Do this stuff slowly so that we can keep everybody good, safe, healthy. And we've got a lot of, you know, things that we're doing differently at Mosby for this, how we're handling things, filling out stuff every single morning as reminders, and just knowing that, you know, we don't want to infect anybody or have any problems. So we're wearing masks, we're doing all these things still that we need to do in order to, you know, just help out and help control this thing as much as we can. So get out this weekend, have a little fun, but, you know, be safe with it as you do it, for sure. And you know, in thinking of being safe, have you looked at your deck lately? So I know everybody's going to be getting out there. You know, the outdoor living season is pretty much now in full swing. So we're all, you know, we all hear these stories about decks collapsing. In the past 10 years, there's been more than 800 reported injuries of fallen decks that were built incorrectly and people being injured by that. Talk about a horrible thing, you know, and they're basically saying, you know, what's the lifespan, you know, of a deck? You know, they're saying 10 to 15 years. Well, think how long some of these decks have been on some of these structures. And if you maintain them, if you watch them, if you do the maintenance, if you, you know, get everything right, you can certainly get well longer than 10 to 15 years out of a deck. But you want to be wise about it, and you want to really keep up with it. So, you know, in going outside and, you know, kind of looking around and inspecting, what I'd really recommend is, you know, there's a few things on the list here of what you really want to watch for, look out for. Some pretty obviously, you know, when you look at stairs, there's a lot of stairs that have open risers, and that, you know, creates a space more than 4 inches wide. So closing off those risers on your stairs is a really great idea. Checking your railing, checking for missing pieces, missing spindles, things like that. Making sure that your spaces are four inch max. Less than 4 inches is great. You know, you don't want a baby's head or something like that to be able to fit through there. So less than 4 inches from the floor, less than 4 inches between the spindles. You know, look around and kind of measure that and check it out. Look at the height of the railings and all of that. You know, you want 36 inches. And when you think about it, you go to commercial, they want 42 inches on a lot of commercial stuff. So, you know, it's just the taller is better and safer, you know, but really getting underneath that deck is so important. When you see everything from the surface, you might see some routed deck boards or things you need to place, you know, but really poking around, looking underneath, take an ice pick or a, you know, straight screwdriver, poke around, feel how that wood is and see how the ends feel and all of that. But when you get underneath, you know, look for improper, you know, joist hanger sizes. You know, if you look at the size of your floor joist and you look at what the numbers are on the actual joist hanger, it's amazing how many decks have the wrong size joist hanger or the wrong joist hanger nails. They use a regular nail or a roofing nail is obviously the worst. You know, you need a very special nail for those joist hangers, you know, a good thick framing nail that can hold that stuff up. So look around all that. I just saw a deck about 2 days ago that had some joist hangers in the right places, but there was a whole other beam and everything in the middle that really, you know, an internal beam that should have had joist hangers on it, and it had none on the center of this deck. And sometimes you need them there. Sometimes you need them on the outer edge, depending on how it's built. So look around and check that stuff out. Look for any improper materials, the wrong types of fasteners. If they're rusting, they're not the right type. So if you're starting to see rust, change those before they get too rusted out and get the right type of fasteners and everything. There's some really good, you know, deck bolts now. There's some fasteners that actually go through into the house and attach the floor joist from the house mechanically to the floor joist of the deck. That really, you know, gets things the best way and really holds things up well. So if you had a deck maybe built 10 or 15 years ago and maybe some of this stuff wasn't in place, you know, go ahead and think about adding some of the newer stuff just so it's good, it's sturdy, and it's really ready to go for you. But, you know, check out all of your footings, you know, undersized footings. The post of the deck going into the ground, into concrete, is also, you know, just sucking in moisture. Not a great way to do it anymore. So I definitely, you might have a good sturdy deck, but consider, you know, cutting off, getting some new piers and really getting those standoff bases on some good post and, you know, reviving that deck to go another 10 or 15 years, you know, would be a great thing. So look for stuff like that. The most important one I see all the time is the deck flashing, improper deck flashing, you know, not flashed up against the house. If you're from underneath, if you don't see the metal flashing, you know, under those deck boards coming out, then it is probably flashed wrong. Really poke and feel, on those BAM boards up against the house and feel for water, look for water stains, feel for rotted wood, because that is how those decks end up collapsing. The water gets behind there and you end up, it gets weak there, and it basically falls off the house first and then tips out, and that is literally what happens and how they fall. So just hopefully some good safety stuff for all you guys out there. When you're going to have people over, you're going to be out on your decks this weekend, get out there and inspect it and check it out. So I'm just about out of time here, but I want to thank my great client, John Hock, for coming on with me. I want to thank everybody for listening, and tell everybody have a great week, and I will talk to everybody next Saturday. Have a good time on the holiday. I'll see you.